Let us now turn to Matthew chapter 24, reading from verse 3 to verse 14. Matthew 24, verse 3 to verse 14. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of the coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. This phrase is very interesting and outstanding. Earthquakes. Usually we have earthquakes one at a time. But here is earthquakes in many places at the same time, apparently, which is illustrated by the recent tsunami. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then so many be offended and so betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I want you to take note about the gospel of the kingdom that we preach will be preached to all nations, all nationalities, and then shall the end come. The message that I'm delivering today is more about the tsunami, pronounced tsunami and not tsunami. It is a Japanese word that refers to the tidal waves released from the undersea earthquakes. has happened as recent as only 1 month ago. The speed which the killer whales traveled was 800 kilometers an hour. Can you think of it? Just in a matter of a few hours, the devastation reached Africa, touching Somalia, Tanzania, and Kenya, though there the destruction is not so great as Sri Lanka or India or Aceh itself. It's a terrible picture to see from the newspaper as far as Aceh is concerned. The killer waves in this region have reached down to Langkawi, that's Malaysia. Many times people go on a cruise and they visit Langkawi. I've seen the pictures of the destruction there too, and Penang. But mercifully, Singapore is spared. I don't know whether you constantly think of this fact that we living in Singapore have been protected against natural disasters and man-made troubles. The death caused by the tsunami today, do you know, has reached 290,000. That's the latest figure. Shortly after this happened, when the count was about over 150,000, there came a statement from the Archbishop of Canterbury. He is the head of 70 million Anglican Christians. And he came to the point where he says it in a very subtle way, there is no God. If there is a God, how can this thing happen? This clearly reveals that there are churchmen who are modernists and liberals, and they are not Christians at all, according to a statement by Dr. Machen in the 1930s. And I was in the thick of this. Wonderful that he revealed to us that liberalism and modernism is no part of Christianity. It is a totally foreign religion. How do I know this? We studied in the Anglo-Saxon school and Methodist mission school. And we have chapel and we sing all the songs and the hymns. But the leaders don't believe a thing. They don't believe any miracle. And Jesus told the Pharisees, if you want a sign, a miracle from me, that is the miracle of Jonah. 3 days and three nights. They don't believe Jonah. They laugh it off. How can a man survive in the face for 3 days and three nights? They do not believe anything. That's why, while they being in the mission school and studying in the senior class, taught by him, the bishop, in English, but they never told us how to go to heaven, how to be saved. Dr. McIntyre, the student of Dr. Machen, he followed up in the fight and the stand against modernism. in what is called a 20th century Reformation. And we who are now in the 21st century, we must do the same thing to carry on the fight for the faith. Now, the fight for the faith centers on the Bible. And we are very happy that true life, that's why we are called true life, has taken a stand on the Bible that it is 100% perfect without any mistake at all. Now, many years ago, I heard on the BBC very clearly there was a synod meeting of the Anglican Church in England, and they have 50 bishops in England. Out of the 50 bishops, 45 of them did not believe in the virgin birth of Christ, nor in his resurrection. Now, it was from one of these unbelieving bishops, 45 out of 50, that the present Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr. Rowan Williams, that is his name, Rowan Williams, was chosen. But thank God for the tsunami. Because of the tsunami, it has exposed him, a so-called Christian leader, to be actually an atheist. Secondly, you read in my weekly about an Indonesian who was a survivor also. And when he is saved, he said, "I think God has reminded us that we have forgotten him and that we have to remember him properly." Well, thank God for another one who is awakened. The Archbishop says there is no God. The Indonesian young man or young woman says he realizes there is God. Think of it, there was a memorial service for the Singapore dead. In Singapore, 7,300 of them. And you can see that all their faces were blank. None of them knew what happened to you when you die. And this fits with Paul's quoting the saying of long ago, "Let us eat and drink, and for tomorrow we die." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 32. We have no hope beyond the grave. Let me tell you a story of my contractor friend, Mr. Goh. I give him many jobs from the church and he's very happy. And he told me his philosophy of life. Earn as much money as I can, enjoy myself, and when I die, finish. You just try to ask the people in the world, how wonderful if they come to our church and you can bring them in, that they should hear the good word of salvation. Thirdly, the Bible tells us about famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And what is it trying to do? Through this tsunami, Jesus is heading the people of the world to the uttermost parts of the world, because there are many nations now giving money for the tsunami, so they know and especially we Christians, we hear the message already. He says, I'm coming very soon, and are you ready? Have you prepared for it? The text we read just now comes to the end to verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, to all nationalities, and then shall the end come. We are all Singaporeans here, and as for race, apart from the majority Chinese, Indians and maybe Indonesian some, that's about all. But what God wants is, He wants to see that this word is preached to all nations and witness to all nationalities. In this area, I can thank God that we have our Far Eastern Bible College, and we are in a Bible College movement, and we are helping, for example, two African Bible colleges. The first one, the Bible College of East Africa, has 120 students. And many African tribes are in this school. Our own school itself has people from 16 or 17 countries. Koreans, Taiwanese, Indonesians, Malaysians. Thank God for it. We feel therefore very glad that we are touching the nationalities. And you know that is not easy. Even then, the efforts of our young people this afternoon going out to Bukit Panjang to the HDB flats, tracting one block by one block. It is another effort to fulfill the word of Christ. But the end of the world and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is very near, as attested by this fact that Revelation 9:13-16 tells us that the Third World War, the end of the last war, as attested by Dr. Walbert of Dallas Seminary, America, He identifies this as the last war that's coming to an end if the next war will break out. And he says that it will happen in Iraq again, in the river, in the Euphrates. But now we know that two wars have been fought in Iraq, one so recent. That brings us to the third, which is much closer. And then, in Revelation chapter 16, verse 16 onwards, that tells us that after 2 or 3 years or so, the war would have led up to Armageddon. Now, Armageddon is not something that is hidden, but it is an open place. It is called Har Megiddo, Hill of Slaughter. Hill of Slaughter is found south of Haifa. It is the place that marks a plain that is very broad that the enemy coming in will attack along this way. And the kings of the east, all the nations that are east of Israel, east, even up to China, perhaps. China is not for Israel. It is very interesting. All the countries of the world, except for United States and some European states. That shows the time is coming very soon. And according to the Bible, when the world breaks out, where will you go? Where can you hide? The Bible tells us there is no place to hide but upwards. Which leads us to do two Bible passages I would like you to turn. It is good to identify them in the Bible yourself. 1 Corinthians 15. Please turn. First Corinthians 15, 51 to 53. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, we shall not all die, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Without going for death, suddenly we become immortal. God bless us that we should not go through physical death in the terrible final war. I'd like you to turn also to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that tells us very clearly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, verse 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Our loved ones, if they have died, they are waiting for us. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Our loved ones will come with Jesus. And this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. This is an old English word. Not prevent, but prevent. Shall not go before. Shall not go before them which are asleep. That means they will come first. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, we are alive and will be caught up together with the Lord, with them unto the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall be ever with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. New Christians may not have come to this part of our salvation. God loves us and he will not allow us to suffer beyond. And so he will change us without going to death and catch us up to meet with him in the air. Well, that is a very involved thing when it comes to there'll be fighting so and so forth. Fighting is his fighting. Jesus, the Son of God himself, in the Revelation chapter 19. This event whereby we are saved in mid-air without going through death is called the rapture. That means to take by force, save us. Will you be in the rapture? Well, there are some who are very honest and some who are rather shy, maybe. I do understand. The recent tsunami, more about the tsunami, whereby we begin to study the scriptures, which finally, and very soon, maybe, will lead us to the Third World War, which will be Iraq again. And then, when the war starts, the rapture must occur for Christians. This is our hope. And in scripture we call this our blessed hope. God has saved us, and there will be many stages, and especially those who stay until trouble comes into this world. I tell you, Singapore, with all our preparation, our leaders say we may last for about 1 week, and that's all. But we Christians have a hope. He will come and take us up the blessed hope without going through death. And we will live with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years on earth. This is part of the mysteries of our salvation. But if you are living in sin, you must repent and seek the Lord's forgiveness before it's too late. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is to know that you love us so much. You save us from hell. You save us even from war, from the conflict. And you give us a safe place to hide in you. Through this tsunami, so may we hear your voice saying, prepare diligently for my coming. And we will do this. That each week we come to church, we may be looking up and waiting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.